listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
He taught me how to watch and pray.
to read today from God's holy word as we find it in Romans chapter 8. We have read earlier from the third chapter, description of our ways in the flesh, description of our terrible sins, and also the wonderful message of the gospel in the last part of that third chapter. As we think of beginning to read here at verse 8, we think of the description that was given in Romans 3, and because of that, Paul can write here and state, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Here we have the perfect Word of God. We may not understand it perfectly, but we can learn from it. And in learning from it, we will give God glory. And let's pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us in such a way that we will know, especially as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, to the glory of His grace. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for what is described here. We give thanks for the description that is given of ourselves in our sinfulness, in our flesh. As Thou hast said, those that are in the flesh cannot please Thee. We pray that we might learn it as Thou dost describe it. And as Paul could say of himself, that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Father, we confess we are not prone to think that. We think that our flesh can do many good things and have done many good things. And we think of those described further in the same letter, who, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to Thy righteousness, which is Christ. We pray, Father, that none of us listening today may be left in the way of the flesh, trusting in our flesh. Another letter we think of Paul, he said, if anyone have anything to boast of in the flesh, I more. But also he could say that he counted all these things but dung, that he might win Thee, Lord Jesus. And we pray that we might want to do the same with him, that we may learn with Paul, that we may learn especially that which was inspired and given to him, both what he did experience and also what he himself would hope for, and at the time of this writing, possibly had not yet experienced it, that which he could not see and hope for. And we pray that we might do so with him at that, as he spoke of it at that particular time. We pray, Father, Thou would teach all of the church together, that it might fulfill and give answer to Thy prayer, Lord Jesus, that they might be one, even as Thou and Christ are one. And especially in this one place described here that we read, when Thou dost say, whom Thou dost foreknow, Thou dost also predestinate to be conformed to the image of Christ. We pray that Thou wilt take every believer today and make them to be conformed to Christ's image, both in knowledge, but also in practice, that we might have that right knowledge with Him, of Thyself, of Him, of creation, of all the world, of sin as well as righteousness. And also, Father, that we may have a doctrine that is put to practice, that we may have obedience as well as knowledge. And we give thanks that Thy Word speaks of both, gives us much to learn and much to do. And we give thanks that through Christ it can be done. We give thanks not only for these spiritual blessings that Thou dost describe for time and eternity, also we give thanks for the temporal blessings that are only for this life, only for a short time. We give thanks for the sunshine and the rain, and we pray for those who have not had these blessings as we have in our area, that are even now starving. We pray for them, for Thy mercy on them. We pray for those that are in war-torn lands. We pray for those who are persecuted. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the sorrowing, the lonesome, the troubled homes. We pray, Father, for the schools, that they might teach again the truth and not the lie, calling facts myths and calling myths truths, and the fact of supposed evolution when there is no fact at all concerning it. And we pray that those who have professed themselves to be wise and have become fools might learn that they are fools before the day of judgment. We pray, Father, Thou wilt revive the church, that it will teach the truth and not teach the lie with those in the world. We pray, Father, for blessings needed in every place, and especially, Father, that Thou wilt establish the home and revive the church all through Christ. Amen. As we have read here, a rather long portion, but there is so much in it. Think again of the first verse that we read, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's where God begins with us. That's all we have is flesh. If we have any spirit, we have the spirit of disobedience. As Paul spoke over to the church at Ephesus, we were like others, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, speaking to those who had been changed, those who had been quickened together with Christ, speaking of their past. And all of us have a past to be ashamed of, a past to confess, a past from which we had to repent, or we are still there in our wicked ways. And it doesn't make a bit of difference if you're behind the pulpit or in the pew. That which we have read in weeks past declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. None that seeketh after God. It also asks the question concerning others, are we better than they? And the answer comes back, in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. And there's nothing worse in all the world than to be an unprofitable preacher. Think of what God said to those in the time of Jeremiah. They will not profit the people at all by their lightness and by their lies. And we have much of that today. Such lightness that will not stop sin. Such lightness that men would never have to die for what they stand for, because they don't stand in the way of sinners. They don't stand in the way of all of our sins. And I'm not going to mention any one, because somebody might say, well, what about that one? And what about that one? Why didn't you say that? There's more than we can count. And every one of those things are sins. If there is none that does good, no, not one, in the church and in the world, Jew and Gentile, one color or another color, all the same. All have sinned in such a way that God either had to send his son down to die for that person, or they will go to hell. It's that plain. And that's you. Yes, you. You may have washed the outside of the cup very carefully. You may have think you're clean. But you have a heart that's as wicked as David, as Paul, and as many others that can be shown in Scripture. And we don't have to speak even of using names, because there is none righteous, no, not one. I hope we have learned that. If we haven't, it's time to learn it today. God says by the pen of the psalmist, and again by Paul, today if you will hear his word, harden not your heart. And again, there's no worse place to harden a heart than in the pulpit. No worse place, second with it, is in the pew and in the Christian home. And we could add the supposed Christian school that teaches lies. So many teaching with the world, evolution, not taking the word of God in its truth and calling it a myth and giving a lie instead and calling it a fact. Yes, we have come to that everywhere, over and over, we hear it. But here we have the way out. We already saw it in the last part of Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, that which is of the faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. That's the door out of this terrible darkness, or this terrible way of the spirit of disobedience, this terrible way of Satan's children. And that's why we had to have, as we read, you have not received the spirit of bondage again, but you have received the spirit of adoption. When Paul speaks to those who are God's children, he says, you've been adopted. You've come from a different family. Yes, with our tradition, we try to change that. The Jews try to change that. They thought they were in the right family. We are Abram's children. But God said to them, this did not Abram. When Christ spoke of their wicked deeds, they weren't like Abraham. They had to learn with Abraham, as Romans 4 tells us, that God justifies the ungodly. And those are the only ones. if he looks around to justify anybody in their present work of themselves in the flesh, there's none. But those who are guilty can be and are justified because of Christ. And that's what Paul is continuing to speak of. Here he's speaking both of the beginning, but probably more of sanctification and the continuing of it. Verse 9 of this 8th chapter states, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The Spirit of another. We might say of Democrats or Republicans, well, you have the same Spirit as others. You might have the Spirit with them. You might have the Spirit all from yourself, like them. But that is not the way it is amongst God's children. We don't just imitate Christ. We have to be changed and be given His Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, not just like Christ, but of Christ, from Christ, as well as when we go back to the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse, we have even the faith of Christ, as well as the faith in Christ. And these things are not accepted. They are refused by, sadly, certain part of the church that never did believe it, called Arminians. There's also a large part of the church that confessed to believe it, called those who believe in the doctrines of what we call grace or God's sovereignty in giving salvation, spoken of as we read it here, whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. There, again, Paul is really speaking of sanctification. Our being changed from what we were born with, what we practiced, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Some would take this word foreknow, as they did, as they do also in Peter, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and say, well, God knew who was going to believe. If you say that, and you think that, then you don't believe God's word. We have often repeated from Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Romans 3, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what God foreknows. That's what He tells us. In the Psalms we read, He looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good, and there was none. There was none that understood. That's why we have to be born again. When Christ says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is really seeing with the understanding. He does not understand the kingdom of God. He just doesn't know what it's all about. Doesn't see himself on the outside of it. Doesn't see the kingdom of God as a righteous way. Especially not the way of the gospel and the preaching of the cross, which, as Paul said to the Corinthians, is to them that perish foolishness, to the Greeks foolishness, to the Jews a stumbling block. That's why we have to be born again. And if we will be born again, we will have to be predestinated. Yes, we want to choose God. When we don't understand, and the Scripture declares that, we don't seek after God, the Scripture declares that, there's none that does good, no, not one, the Scripture declares that. And it's true both of the law and of the gospel. We have proved it as mankind. It wasn't that mankind refused the law and gladly received the gospel. The very word gospel portrays our refusal of Christ. The gospel is Christ dying for our sin. Why did He die? Christ said they hated me without a cause. If I had not spoken unto them the words that I spoke, they would not have hated me. And from a human standpoint, that's why he died. From God's standpoint, he died also because of our sin. It was as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, they did it with wicked hands and according to God's determinate counsel. Yes, and that day of Pentecost was also God's determinate counsel. Those number of days after the crucifixion, those number of days after the resurrection, after Christ had said to the apostles, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued from on high, with power from on high, where that power come from? From the 3,000? No, it came from God. The Spirit was poured out on that day of Pentecost. Peter could say, this is that which Joel spake of. Joel prophesied it those 700 years before. Now it was being fulfilled. They had that work of the Spirit of pricking them in the heart. And Peter would tell them what to do next when they asked, what must we do? And it would lead right up to what we have here in Romans 8. Peter said to those who were pricked in the heart, who had the beginning work of the Spirit, who had what Christ said, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he was doing that on that day, mightily. His day, his time, to his people. To those that he added daily to the church, such as should be saved, as we can read the last part of that second chapter. And I hope you listen to those words of God. We aren't listening. People throw it away. Oh, who believes that? Who believes in predestination? If we don't believe it, you know why? God may not be predestining many people today to be conformed to the image of his Son. He may be leaving us. He may be withdrawing the Spirit. When those things weren't believed in the day of the Great Awakening, in the time of Edwards, the people feared that God had withdrawn the Spirit from the land. So they feared that lie. They did not want to accept God's grace, God's power, God's predestination, God's election. And here it's described. And not only to be conformed to the image of Christ, but Paul also refers back to justification. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And then moreover, them he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God's unbreakable chain, all because of Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.